It's Thursday, April 9th. Here's what's happening in Northeast Indiana. The Fort Wayne Police Department is reminding riders that not every electric two-wheel vehicle is an e-bike under Indiana law, and that it's important to know whether your vehicle requires registration. The average price of a gallon of gas in Indiana is $4.13, but Hoosiers will start seeing cheaper prices at the pump in the next few days. And Indiana nursing homes are owed hundreds of millions of dollars in back payments for services provided under the state's Medicaid program for long-term care. I'm Brianna Barrow, and this is Who and What. The Fort Wayne Police Department is reminding riders that not every electric two-wheel vehicle is an e-bike under Indiana law, and that it's important to know whether your vehicle requires registration. An electric bicycle must have operable pedals, a motor of 750 watts or less, and a maximum assisted speed of less than 28 miles per hour, according to Indiana law. Any other two-wheeled vehicles that lack these requirements are treated as motorcycles to be ridden on the road and must be registered. The operator must also have an appropriate license or endorsement, unlike with an e-bike. The Fort Wayne Police Department is encouraging families to familiarize themselves with these requirements before purchasing a bike or allowing it to be ridden on public streets. The average price of a gallon of gas in Indiana is $4.13, but Hoosiers will start seeing cheaper prices at the pump in the next few days. Caroline Beck reports on a new emergency declaration from Governor Mike Braun.
Braun announced a 30-day pause on the state's 7% gas sales tax on Wednesday as gas prices continue to rise due to the war with Iran. Braun says after 30 days, his office will reevaluate if the pause should continue.
The state will be watching the pumps to make sure savings are delivered to Hoosiers when they go to fill up each week or whenever they do.
The governor has the power to suspend the gas sales tax under a declared emergency. The pause in sales tax takes effect immediately, but it may take a few days before drivers see a change at the pump. I'm Caroline Beck at the State House.
The Indiana Election Commission deadlocked Wednesday on whether Republican Alexandra Wilson could remain in the primary race against Terre Haute Senator Greg Good. As WFYI's Ben Thorpe reports, the question of Wilson's candidacy is part of a broader fight to unseat Good after he rejected President Donald Trump's call to redistrict in Indiana.
Alexandra Wilson is one of two candidates with the last name Wilson challenging Greg Good for the Republican nomination. Supporters of the Trump-backed candidate Brenda Wilson worry that the other candidate named Wilson is going to confuse voters. Alexandra Wilson's candidacy has been challenged on the grounds that she had a 2010 criminal charge, a charge since expunged. Her attorney, Samantha DeWester, says those bringing the challenge against her client have falsely asserted that she is a felon.
She was never convicted. He knows that. We know that. Everyone in the world knows that. And continuing to use it is intentional defamation per se.
The four-member state election commission split on party lines. The tie vote means that Alexandra Wilson can remain on the ballot. I'm Ben Thorpe at the State House.
Indiana nursing homes are owed hundreds of millions of dollars in back payments for services provided under the state's Medicaid program for long-term care. According to our partners at the Indiana Capital Chronicle, the Federal Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services hasn't yet approved the methodology for the 2026 state fiscal year. The 2026 state fiscal year is already 9 months old. The data was originally submitted in June 2025, but the federal agency has responded with questions and is seeking more data. At issue are supplemental payments received up to the Medicare rate for long-term care under Indiana's Pathways for Aging system, complicated by the One Big Beautiful Bill Act passed by Congress in July. These payments are about $1 billion a year, and at least two quarterly payments have already been stalled. State officials said $462 million in payments to 496 nursing homes have been delayed. Mio Mint, a Burmese resident of Fort Wayne known for the HBO documentary Burma Soldier, passed away in February. WBOY's Ella Abbott reports on his legacy of service to Burmese people here and abroad. As a warning to our listeners, some parts of this story describe graphic events.
My name is Myo Myint. I am former soldier.
At 17 years old, Myo Myint joined the Burmese military as an engineer. Born into a military family, he believed it was the right thing for him. After decades of British rule, the country was being run by a military dictatorship, the Burma Socialist Programming Party. In 2011, Myo Myint told WNYC what he saw while in the military.
And then Burma military men, they raped the women from the ethnic groups, and then they looted their properties, burned down their villages, and they took the men to use as military porter.
One day while working as a minesweeper, a mortar struck nearby, setting off the mines around him. Myo Myint lost a leg, one hand, and most of the fingers on his remaining hand. After being discharged, he began to reflect on what he'd seen and became one of the first soldiers to speak out for the resistance. This led photojournalist and filmmaker Nick Dunlop to Myo Myint.
I was looking for somebody who could really, really describe from the inside what it was like to grow up in the military and to, you know, be a soldier on the front lines.
In 1988, the Burmese resistance staged the largest demonstration against the regime.
And Myo Myint was persuaded by friends of his to take to a podium.
Here he is in a clip from an NPR story about the 1988 uprisings.
At first, I was very afraid, but I started to talk to the soldier. I am a soldier like you. We should not fight each other. We are brother.
The regime struck back against the protest violently, and Myo Myint was arrested shortly thereafter at the age of 26. He went on to spend 15 years in prison. He spoke about this experience with WNYC's Leonard Lopate.
When I was in prison, they hate me much more than other democracy activists because I used to be military man. They think.
They saw you as a traitor.
Yes, sure. So I get more torture than other people.
At 41 years old, he was released from prison and fled to a refugee camp at the border of Thailand. In 2008, he was approved to move from the refugee camp and relocate to Fort Wayne. The documentary Burma Soldier captures the tearful goodbyes between Myo Myint and other refugees in the camp as he prepared for the journey to the United States.
You just realize that what a pillar of the community he actually was. And I suspect that he took that with him to Fort Wayne as well.
In Fort Wayne, Myo Myint met journalist John Gievers, who was working on a story about Burmese refugees. Giever says the two of them talked for so long, his pen ran out of ink.
He told his story in a way that was compelling and as though he was on a mission to get it out to the world.
Myo Myint went on to work with various refugee organizations in the area, often acting as an interpreter for Burmese refugees who needed services but struggled with English. He spoke in front of the Refugee Congress, the Administration for Children and Families, and the State Department.
So he became a voice for every refugee who is imprisoned and trying to remind countries who are free, like the United States, that we probably have some responsibility to help our fellow humankind.
Both Dunlop and Gievers echoed Myo Myint's mission for people to have grace for refugees in their communities.
Refugees often don't necessarily want to be resettled. They love their homeland.
We need to engage with their stories and treat them with dignity and kindness.
Dunlop is currently working to get Burma Soldier, which isn't available for streaming anywhere, back online so people can discover Myo Myint's story anew and hopefully learn something from him.
I demand democracy, human rights, freedom, and stop civil war. Thank you so much.
For WBOI News, I'm Ella Abbott.
For more on this story and Myo Myint's life in Fort Wayne, visit WBOI.org. More news in a moment.
My name is Jim Werenberg. I've been a listener and member of public radio for over 40 years. Public radio is important because it gives a broad and balanced view of the world and is a strong supporter of our local news. Please join me and countless others in protecting public radio. Learn how at wboi.org/save.
Here's what to know for today. Senator Todd Young said Trump's threats against Iran are an effort to bring the conflict to an end. The question over whether Terre Haute Republican Alexandra Wilson can appear on the ballot will be decided by the Indiana Election Commission. And 50 years ago, the Indiana University men's basketball team made college sports history. Winning all games in the season and the championship, they are still the last to win it all. That's Who and What for Thursday, April 9th. These stories and more can be found at WBOY.org or on the WBOY app. Subscribe to Who and What on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can ask your smart speaker to play Who and What. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll also enjoy our newsletter Frequency at WBOY.org/frequency. Music for Who and What is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. From all of us at WBOI, thanks for being with us and have a great rest of your day.